Hello, this is the Tribe Stories, the curated sermons, conversations, and collections of poetry of the Tribe Lagos. The Tribe Lagos is a gospel expression based in the city of Lagos, committed to reaching the next generation with the message of God's love and grace. May this refresh and revive you as you listen.
Romans 8:19. Please give me Romans 8:19. Let's be seated for a second. So, you know, there are some scriptures that just tend to set you up. And I think this scripture is one of those few scriptures that tend to make you wonder if the life you're living is the same thing that the scripture is talking about when they say you are a child of God. So let's see what this says. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Let's expectations of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So let's rejoice, rejoice. I want us to pull a stunt this morning, right? Not a stunt. Right, I want us to try something fresh. So, let's enter separation for a second. Who is the most beautiful girl here today? That's why I enter separation, because we are all beautiful in the eyes of God. But okay, if you know you're beautiful and you're fearfully and wonderfully made, please stand up. Well, okay, that's not the intention. Well, this scripture, rejoice, you're going to be there for a second, right? So I need three volunteers. So we're going to do this together. Three volunteers. Three volunteers. And it will help us if you are a former model. Or you modeled and retired. Okay, it will help us. I said it will help us. I didn't say it's a compulsory. Be bold in the grace of in the spirit of Esther. So I need maybe both ladies and guys. So is there no model in the house of the Lord? No. Yeah. Please. Let's nominate. Nelson, you made it. Y'all know yourselves, all right. Guys, we don't move forward if I don't get my three volunteers. Guys, trust me. Daniel, come. Daniel, see, trust me. I'm not, you know. Young man, what's wrong with you? Why are you dressed more like the man of God? These are the issues. All right, well done. So we need one more volunteer, lady this time. Guys, you guys know if I wasn't holding the mic, I'm eligible. But I'm holding the mic today, so let's open it. A lady in the house. Ella, your name has been going through. Welcome. Okay, guys. So, ladies and gentlemen, these are three volunteers. And this scripture tells us something, that for the earnest expectation of creation is eagerly waiting for revealing the sons of God. Now, I want us to try and see this picture in TPT. Please give me TPT translation. Now, this is what this scripture is saying. Have you ever witnessed Miss World? Miss World. And how those models walk across the runway. Ella, you're the first. So give us, isn't she lovely? Do you know that? Na-na-na-na-na. That stuff, right, by Stevie Wonder. Stevie's not in church this morning, but we can make do with that. Isn't she lovely? Oh. Ella, so, Ella, this is what you're doing for us, right? So, you know how models do it? We let someone get space for this church. So you start from there, but we are fans. So we are blowing you kisses. You understand? Now remember, this thing used to happen when Michael Jackson was alive. The ladies will remove shirts, some will faint. You understand? Michael will just stand like this, oh, right? And everybody's shaking. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Miss World of the Tribe, Ella. All right, guys. Ella. Awesome. Right. The crown is definitely for you, guys. But guys, this scripture says, see the TPT translation, that the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. What this scripture is setting us up is saying that every time you walk through the earth, even the ground is screaming your name, saying, thou beautiful son of God or daughter of God. Can you see how beautiful you are? In fact, when you see those trees moving, they're waving at you. Right? Now don't take it too much. Because some before we now start looking for prayer, don't come across. But again, the fundamental here is that even this, it says even the entire universe is standing on tiptoe. Even the stars are calling you, hey, star of wonder, what's the deal? So let's take a guy. Give us Ojemba. Ojemba, Ojemba, Ojemba. Yo, Odogu, that song. Yeah, yeah. The lion, the conqueror, the something is here. Well, maybe that's the way you want to do it. Okay, there are no rules. You understand? The conqueror, the something is here. That one. So, one, two, go. Ladies and gentlemen, the lion, the conqueror of Abia State, of the world, the designer of the next future. Nigeria is waiting for him to give us the design that will solve traffic problem. The schools are waiting for him to design how 100 students can learn in one small space and understand. All right, Daniel. Ladies and gentlemen, another king of the earth. The engineer that will create the nest. The car that will, you know, this particular car. No, you know what? This particular time, with, you know, Daniel, the world is waiting, you know. You're an engineer, right? So, you know, as an engineer, we now know. Somebody was telling me yesterday that he wants to convert his generator to gas. You understand? I hope we've thought about that thing very well. But the money seemed that even the thinking can wait. The cost reduction was drastic. But the point again is that as we have entered this season, maybe this is the time where gas cars will now be in. You know, some cars should ride on gas. You understand? Brother, we need to solve the problem. That's what we're caring about. So on the other hand, if you think about it, even now, electric cars, just like when you buy electric cars, the units, we will soon be paying 700 per kilowatt. So you have to be sure that you're not jumping from fire to fire. In trying to save 700, how much is 4 per liter now? And the way this word subsidy is becoming quite a magical word. And grace is subsidized. Okay, guys, but interestingly, I need you to see a picture of what this is. It's not a joke. It is actually the gospel, right? The Bible says that the entire universe is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. That means this is God's dream for humanity. That this is the way God designed man, that on earth, as you walk through the earth, you would, the earth, do you know when you're passing through traffic, that type of gridlock traffic, the thing is calling your name. Because that traffic in Lagos is a design problem. No, it's a design problem. Do you know, somebody somewhere just has not, as you feel something, sometimes you're just in traffic for 1 hour, you get there, you just see two men, go back or I go back. If you don't go back, I go back. So, you know, all you needed was that, okay, I beg, you try, there's more space in you. You know, some people say, no, the egos are in the way. Right, so at the end of the day, every problem, when you pass through Lekki now, you meet the daughters of the night. You understand? The daughters of the night is not saying that, don't be saying, oh, brother Jesus. You understand? Well, while you want to plead the blood, they are actually crying for you to say, can you remind me who I used to be before the world told me who I am not? And for help me to settle into this reality, survival script. Because some of them, that's all they know. That for them to pay bills, they have to sleep with somebody. For them to eat a meal, they have to do night. And it's not a vigil. So at the end of the day, these things are important, but we have to take Christianity to practical steps where your context of Christianity is not just about receiving miracle and a breakthrough. It's about breaking through into your world. That the context, and then in all of generation, the dream of God, this thing resembles Genesis 1:26. We'll look at it. But one of the things you must keep in mind is that God has not changed his mind. I really, really think we are entering a time when our generation must step away from church as it is to discover church as it was meant to be. Where we will step away from the way the world has told us, because this is not powerful. That a city has this number of people, church is filled up, and Nigeria is the way it is. And some people say they are Christians. No, they are people who go to church. If our definition of Christianity is that you attend church, then that is okay. But I really don't think that's what God had in mind. The definition of Christianity was that Christ was a template and everybody will awaken to Christ. So that if he's not like Jesus, then it's not Christianity. I know that we only interpret it in terms of love. Yes, that's true. But how did Baba pay his taxes? The fish paid his tax. You understand? That dimension where nature, do you know the sea could hear his voice? He left a footprint on water. No, that's the dimension. You understand? Fishes could pay your tax. You leave footprint on water. Guess what? He turned a meeting into a festival. Took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and made sardine. And everybody was happy to go home. Not only was that, there was 12 baskets to take home. When you attend the service, people go for food and then come back with healing. The point was that the scale at which he operated was deeply supernatural. But I wish he told us that, as I am, so you are not. That's not what he said though. He said, as I am in this world, so are you. That means our definition of existence has to resemble him, nothing else. Now, the guys that followed after him, the first generation apostles, some of them, their shadows did things. One of them said, I can't come to Ondo State right now, but I'm going to send you my hanky. The hanky did the work. Sometimes you plus your hanky plus you plus everything, you understand? Nothing moved. So the question is then, what is actually at work? So as we are like this, every time you pass, the entire universe is standing up tiptoe screaming, who are thou? So clap for them, clap for them. Tiptoe into the presence of the Lord, yo. Guys, what again I need you guys to keep in mind, look at Genesis 1:26. So don't forget that one guy that they asked, teach us how to pray, was Jesus. And I think they were not wasting words. They had seen something in his life. You understand? The guy was sitting down at home. Do you know, if you go and study Lazarus, there was a very interesting conversation. Jesus did not talk like we talk. Jesus did not even pray like we pray. We have to understand prayer in the context of who he is. So if you don't understand that person that he is, you are going to live less than your redemptive abilities. So in Genesis 1 verse 26, what did he say? Look at how God created man. So Jesus was God's response to a fallen world because God created Adam. One thing I want to solve this morning, before we start talking about prayer, let's first of all talk about identity. Because every prayer that is of power flows from the identity. If you don't know who you are, you will not pray as you are. So we need to fix it, because identity is the cause. The answers of the prayer is the consequence. So Genesis 1:26, we always dial back to this place because in their interesting mind, this is where God began when he began with God, with man. So I really think that the entire Bible, what we understand as creation, was written in separation. So there was a sense that men thought God, the idea of creation was that God created us. Therefore, this is what it is. They lived in that understanding. But that's not what Jesus taught us when he came. He redefined creation. So we're going to look at the way he defined creation. But here, let's see. Then God said, let us make man. And you know how we say this at the tribe? This is your de facto consciousness. Right? That God said, let us make man. Who was God talking to? It was the Father, the Son, and the Spirit talking together. Three of them are one God in three persons. So what that means is that the essence, the substance of your creation is God. And we say that God becomes your raw material. So if you were created from God, you were not just created from God, you were made of God. So the way you can understand this thing is that if you take water, right? Water is H2O. Even if you put it in block, it's no less H2O because it's blocked. The essence is H2O. Water is water. You can't make water wet. Water is. So the point again is that if you were created from God, you carry the life of God already inside of you. So what that fundamentally means is, how did God move on the face of the deep? In Genesis 1 verse 1, when God entered the scene, he said darkness was upon the face of the deep. What did God do? He spoke. What did he say? Let there be light. Now, there is a word that we use often called abracadabra. You know what abracadabra means? I speak, I create. That is a Hebrew word that says, I speak, I create. It is the nature of God, and it is the nature of those made from God, that when you're confronted with realities, you must speak over that reality. So speaking is God's technology, because anything made in the nature of God must speak. And then when they speak, they release power. Now let's talk about another one, imagination. When you're made in the image and likeness of God, God gave you imagination. So what that means is that if you can imagine it, you can create it. So that your prayer should also involve the inclusion of your imagination. Speaking is part of it. Your thoughts is also part of it. God says, come, let's reason together. If you can think the thoughts of God, you can manifest the realities of God. But if you backtrack to 14, 16, when God was talking here, God was saying, when he started creating the living things, in this scripture, go and read it when you get home, because we don't have that much time. When God was creating the living things, it was time to make plants. God would say to the ground, I want to make plants after their kind. He introduced the word kind. When he was going to make animal, he introduced the word kind. What that means is called ecosystem, habitat. That the plant and all of its kind was actually made to share life. And if you take the plant out of the ground, it dies, because the kind is one. So when God was making the fishes, he spoke to the water. So the water became the medium, the substance, the essence of the fish. If you take that fish out of water, it dies. When God made man, God created man in his image and likeness and spoke to man. And you know what we think? That God created man and man exists out of God. But that's not the technology. If you follow this, the frequency, everything God created from the source stayed plugged to source. So this is our idea of Christianity. Young man, please come. I know it's a birthday last few days, but we can... Please clap for him. It's his birthday. Bernard. Okay, you guys are about the same height. It's okay. You can achieve what you wanted. See with the eyes of Christ.
He looks up.
All right. Okay, but guys, this is the way we understand creation. You be God. You be son. Or be the image of God. Man. No, come forward. Come forward. This is what it is, that God created man. And this is man. So... man is apart from God. But this concept is a broken one. It's not actually the picture. Now let's dial back to the New Testament. When Jesus came on the scene, he started to introduce new nomenclature. One of the things he spoke to us about, he introduced a word. You know that word? He said in John verse 1, 1 verse 1, what did he say? In the beginning, give me John 1, or John 1, 1. So in John 1, 1, guys, I wish you guys can stay. Track with me, because I'll land in about 15 minutes. I will land in 15 minutes. Jeffrey, thanks for the encouragement, my brother. But here is it. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, there are three. In the beginning was the Word, one word, and the Word was with God, two, and the Word was God, three. Now, some people say this because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is three. That's why I mentioned three times. I don't know. That one looks like hyper theology. But what we know, that the Word has always been, and the Word, go to two. Now, see where it becomes. This is God's own idea. This thing has parallel with Genesis 1 verse 26. But it says, he was in the beginning with God. Next. All things were made through him, right? And without him, nothing was made that was made. Who was he talking about? Guys, we need to understand it. This is the mystery to everything, prayer. So he's saying all things were made by him. So what we are realizing here, there are two dimensions to the person of Jesus. But he was describing the dimension of Jesus that was never created. That means why Jesus was born, there was a part of him that pre-existed his birth. So Jesus did not begin when he was born. Jesus began. He was, right? So that's why we call him Jesus Christ. And what we say is that Christ is not his son name. If you go back in time, it would have been Jesus by Joseph. You understand? That's what it would have been called. In fact, Jesus was not his name like that. It was Yeshua. It would have been Yeshua by Joseph or by Yeshua. You know, those names. But the fundamental thing here is that there are two dimensions to him. There is the earthly Jesus, the one that has flesh. But he said again, there was a dimension to him that was never born. And you know, one moment you think that's only Jesus. That, of course, he was Immaculate Conception. So therefore, he could have existed, because now God come doing thing. You understand? But let's not forget, in how did he tell Jeremiah, before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew thee. That means there was a part of Jeremiah that existed before Jeremiah was born. So your parents are not your source, they're just your channel. God is the Father. So let's go to the next. All things were made through him, and without him was not. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So go on, 5. Okay, I'm looking for the part where I said the word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. Please give me that. I think that's 6 or 7. Okay, so if you track with us, he said the word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. Now, and it was in the world, and the world was made through, and the world did not know him. No, go to 14. So guys, this is all we were raised to believe, was that the way God created you, God is sitting on the throne, in the sky, in the cosmic plexus. Like this, he's sitting on the throne. And then you on earth hustling. You understand? You know, you're on earth hustling. So every once in a while you come to church, Baba, touch me once again in my life. You understand? And then you now go back and then you hustle. The next Sunday said, I need to feel you. This is the air I breathe. You understand? So you need the Sunday fix. So this thing works. That's why church is filled up, because you need retail. You understand? Your tank run low, go refill. It's a Sunday tonic. Now, he says, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now, this is what the creation idea that you find here was not that God made man, a man separated from God. That thing put a pause on it. Let's rethink what this is. This picture is not talking about creation as a separate entity. It was talking about creation as incarnation. What is incarnation? Incarnation is that something becomes something without losing what it used to be. So that it wasn't so much that the flesh was made by the word, but the word was flesh. And the flesh was word. So what became your source continues to become your essence. If you were made from word, you were made of word, and you carry the word inside of you. And so this picture becomes outdated. Mona, back on herself.
Then it's yours now.
No, do something like that. Okay, nobody should get funny. Right? Right. But try to carry him because you're God.
I beg.
All right. Bernard, hope your belt is tight. Okay, guys. But this picture is closer to spirituality than the picture of separation. What this means is that when God became flesh and continued to dwell inside man, that's why one of the scriptures tells us man is what? A temple of God. He said the Spirit of the Lord dwells in the temple. Now, Jesus gave us another picture. He said the vine and the branch. And in that vine and the branch picture, he actually said that my Father, I'm the vine, you are the branch. No, those two are not separate. The vine and the branch are plugged as one. The life of the branch and the vine is connected. The water that flows into the branch, now vine supply. The food was supplied. So what you must see, that this is now the definition of spirituality. That you were made from God, but you continue to exist in him. This is union. So Jesus redefined spirituality. So understand why his prayer worked. He did not say, I and my Father are two. He didn't say, I and my Father are separate. He said, I and my Father are what? If you've seen me, you've seen my. He said, all the Father has is what? Mine. Yes, so how do you make that claim? Because up until that time, nobody could have even imagined God as a Father. The Hebrew word Father means source. And the Hebrew word Father also means Abba. Abba means source. What is source? Source is the place from where you come. So what the picture of spirituality is that the word became flesh. God continues to live inside of man. Yes. So when he asks his disciples, who do men say I am? Right? Colossians 1 verse 27. Please give me Colossians 1 verse 27. So this is the picture that you must retain in your mind. When you wake up, you do not wake up out of God and pray into God. When you wake up, God woke up and woke you up. That's the picture. So we'll go back to that prayer, guys, to see what he used here. So what it means is that, first of all, let it register. You are one with God. You are plugged in God. You are never. Now, this thing might sound philosophically abstract, but it's spiritually accurate. So you enter it by faith. It's not by feeling. It's not like me will be the feel alone. Heartbreak does not change it. Because when you chop breakfast in the morning, God will feed you in the afternoon. So let's not waste it. So guys, but the fundamental premise here, this is the picture. So when they ask Jesus, who do men say I am? If your identity is biography, then you are not seeing what I'm seeing. You understand? Jesus did not use biography. If he used biography, he's a Jewish mystic at best. If he used biography, he was a carpenter. So he would only ask me, who do men say I am? And I said, Jesus, you're the best carpenter, right? And like I told you guys that carpenter used to carry quite a few things. So that means he would have been chiseled. I can tell you for that. Yeah. No. I saw a pastor telling some people that if you go to the gym, the devil has a plan for you. Don't listen to that. Those things are dangerous. Because the truth is that don't operate in fear. That even gym can be worship. It can be a part of your connection. So this is what it is in your spirituality. Religion tells you God is separate. So everything you do is to find God and reach God. Spirituality tells you God is indwelling. So the way Jesus defined it, he says God is eminent. God is omnipotent. You know what that means? God is everywhere. But he's saying, I come to reveal to you the deepest and the most accurate place to find God. He said, I want to tell you that in as much as God is in the sky, God is in the cosmic area, God is in the universe, God is everywhere. He says, when you want to relate to God, you must first of all enter into the God who dwells in you. That the greatest revelation of God is not that he exists alone, apart from you, is that he exists even with you. So he tells us there is an abiding presence that dwells in you. Now, if that is not the answer, what is prayer? Prayer is actually consistently plugging into that life. Prayer is communion before it is activity. Prayer is the disposition of your heart to know that God indwells you before it is a open mouth to pray. So that you are aware that God dwells in you is what it means. So there are two beings. You know, we are called human being. But the idea of our being is almost like your existence. But in the spiritual understanding of being, if you're a Christian here, being is not something you are alone. It is something you are and something you have. Let me explain. Being is something that you possess. So we are a being that is lived in. So you must have a sense of lived in being. That means there is a being living in your being. And this is what I'm saying now. Trust me, if you carry it home, game over for devil. Game over. So let's track again. I'm saying what we understand as being is that you exist, right? But what Jesus defined as being is that there is a bigger being, there is a greater being that dwells in what? In you. So that you do not live as yourself, but you are a lived-in presence. So when you show up, you're not showing up as Freddy. I'm actually showing up as Freddy Christ. Because I am just a channel for the life of God to flow. So Jesus kept saying, all you see me do is my Father. He said, the name of the person that lives in him is called Father. By the time he died, the people that followed him gave that name, Christ. Old Testament called it God. Sometimes they call it the Holy Spirit. It's one essence. Whether it is called anything. But what he's saying is that you are a being that carries a being. Now, our school curriculum and our social curriculum stops at being. The curriculum can only supply this. I am aware that I exist. I want to introduce you to the deeper truth of your being. You are the being where God dwells, where the being of God finds his own existence. So what that fundamentally means is that your prayer is on two levels, right? It's on two levels. So let's look at Colossians 1. Clap for them. You guys should collaborate. Right, okay, so random. So, when he asked them, who do men say I am, right? They all answered different answers and said, thou art the Christ. Now, this person answered, Peter cracked it. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did he tell Peter? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Now, what he now said is even more powerful. He said, upon this revelation, I will build my church. What church means? I will build a people. A call that once, they will find their identity in Christ. So what he said, that which is true of me, I will make it even true of everyone. So the mission of Jesus was to awaken the Christ in us. But what church did was to limit Christ in Jesus. Yet, they only said, what Jesus came to do was to open it. So Colossians 1, see, he said to them, God will to make known. Please, can you give me Okay, to them, God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Give us TPT. TPT would tell you that they answered, thou art the Christ. So what that means is that there is the power of God in him, there is the presence of God in him, there is the being of God in him. And he said, living within you is the Christ. Now, Peter wasn't, Paul was not writing about Jesus. Paul was writing to every believer and every person. And he's saying, what Jesus told us about himself is what is true of you. If Jesus said the Christ lives in you, he said, no, that was the beginning. But this is God's plan. That inside of you, God has hidden Christ. So therefore, there is something you carry that's inside of you that is the answer to the world's problem and to your problem. Is that living within you is Christ, who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. If you have lived your life as just a human being, it's not enough. Now you have to live your life as the being where God dwells. So if there is a, like I use a pointer, you have lived your default consciousness as yourself, as your flesh, as your memory, but Jesus didn't start there. When they asked him a question one time, and he answered it for them, they wanted to stone him. You know what he told them? Before Abraham, I am. Yes, so how that claim was not limited to him. He was calling all of us that when you are a Christian, it's because the Christ now lives in you, and that Christ now floods you with expectation of glory. So therefore, you cannot limit yourself to just your earthly memory. You are not your biography. Your identity is Christ, the eternal one, the infinite power of God. That when God entered flesh, God took on flesh and put a skin. So your existence is God's opportunity to be human. Yes. That in your own existence, God finds opportunity to be human. That's what it means when he said that, how come you didn't clothe my brother? God said, when you saw them, I was them. That God could not conceive himself outside of our existence. God factored himself in. So definition of creation is incarnation. It's not that God created you, but God continued to live in you. So the temple was a metaphor of God coming back to dwell in man. Just the way they had to go through the temple. You are now the temple where God dwells. But you consider yourself only as a temple. You forget that somebody dwells in that temple. And that person that dwells in that temple knows more than you, understands life more than you, and can solve your problem. So that's why we call it contemplation. Meditation or contemplation means you coming into the temple. So God indwells you and God knocks, but from within. So guys, let's now, we sorted this identity issue. Inside you dwells Christ. Christ dwells in me. Say it. The living expression of God dwells in me. Don't forget, Paul one day was boasting. He said the same thing. You know what Paul said? He said, no longer I lives, but what? No, please, guys, let's not sound like Freddy sounding too esoteric. It is what it is. The point again is that he said, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. So he has put paid to the fact that God is absent. The idea that God is distant from you is the wrongest idea you can ever have. It will make you impotent, devoid of power. When I tell you that God is inside of you, believe it, because that's the answer to all your problems. Breaking free from addiction, walking in power. And I'll show you how Jesus Christ prayed. So give me Matthew 6, verse 6. So we go here now. And before I do this, I will talk about different types of prayer, right? So give me some. Because some of us, you know, we've journeyed this thing. One of the types of prayer, anybody? Yeah, supplication. Guys, I need... So supplication, right? One. Supplication. What is supplication really? Supplication means listing all the needs. So it's where you ask God for needs. What other type of prayer do you have here? Intercession. This one, a night walk. This was where village people will hear it. So two, intercession. What's the third one?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. What's the fourth one? Yeah, contemplation and meditation. I'll put it as one. What else? Petition. Guys, if you've never been there, oh Father, you know that anybody standing my way of progress, crush seven times. Not one, or seven times. So they die and died. You know, there was one time I saw one translation from Yoruba Films. Please, Yoruba Films, who did all those people doing translation? They should pity us. You know what they wrote there? Sir, the person you key have died. But I'm sure that in the translation, there was a way that it didn't add up. So we have intercession. What else is here? Now, these prayers, most of the times, they are depending on two things. They are depending on the fact that they locate themselves separate from God. So when they are praying, it's almost like they are praying to God to do something for them. And that's where we are coming from, all of us. Right? So our prayers are always about asking God to do for us. But you will see the way Jesus prayed now. It's not the same way. So your prayer language has to change. Your prayer disposition has to change. Now let's go to this place. But whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with the Father, God, praying to him in secret, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. Now let's dwell a bit on this scripture. He introduces certain words. Whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with the Father. So, on a toilet, that's the problem. So even if you enter a toilet and your mind is noisy, you've not entered, he didn't say closet, he said innermost chamber. So if you have the temple mindset, the temple has the holies of holies, the outer court and the inner court. So the inner court is actually a space within you. So it's actually a mind and heart connection that you must first of all bring yourself home. So that prayer is first of all communion. See, it says, but whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with the Father. That means somebody's in there waiting for you. Yeah. Yes. That person is sitting down there. That's why they say God knocks, but from within. That he sits within you waiting for your entrance. But we have been conditioned to live outside. So we pursue life not from within. So the typical idea that life is inside of you is a mystery. So three definitions of prayer you must carry from here. First of all, prayer here becomes a communion where you are exchanging life between the Father and you. And Jesus Christ said that the Father is in you, right? See what he's saying. But when you pray, go into your innermost chamber, be with the Father, praying to him in secret, and he will see it and reveal it openly. Give me seven. So first of all, say the Father is in me. So there are three ways to live your life. In tribe, we've discussed this before. Seven. There are three ways to live your life. First is to live your life, one, as though, you know, people live their life for themselves. That's how we all grew up. Then there is a Christian type of living where you live your life for the Father. Clap for that. Yes. Coming. So you know what that means when you live your life for the Father? In the part where you live your life for the Father, Jesus, that's what we did on campus. No, traumatized people. You understand? No, there was some days we go day. Ha! This thing was deep. We go exam go day. You're feeling that religious impulse to go and preach. And you'll say, guys, listen to me today. The soul is required of you. Because if you're writing an exam now and die, where will your soul go? And that time people they find A. So some people will be so confused. We need to read now. So I will say, make it no be the way God will punish me now. So I shouldn't have. But my point is that there was this need to perform for God. You understand? There was a need to perform for God. So at the end of the day, there was just this idea in living for God. You're so active. And you're saved by your own idea of works. But guess the Jesus' model? In his own model, you don't live for God. His model, God is living his life through you. No, this thing, hold it. In the one where you live for God, you are the one doing. In the one where God lives as you, you just live. Jesus sometimes doesn't have an agenda. He was like, where are you going? He said, the Father will tell me. It's almost like he's living with an internal instruction that is telling him about how to navigate his life. He's living with an internal guidance. Like there's just this thing inside of him guiding him. So he will say, I'm going by the well. Somebody's there. Father told him. He said, do you know when he told them that? He said, please get these people something to eat. He didn't tell them, God, for now, don't come home. Is there anything to eat? He didn't ask them, is there anything to eat? If you ask that question, faith no damn. Like, because you're asking, is there anything to eat? He said, give them something to eat. Read it. In the two accounts, he said, give them something to eat. Disciples said, Baba, we need to save for 18 months to be able to feed these people. Like, he didn't give them, because there was no space for scarcity. You understand? Because he's saying there is a storehouse inside of him. The Father is the storehouse. So when you pray, you're not praying for answers. You're praying for answers. Because the answers already exist. The things in your life you haven't seen are the things you have not brought out. So when Jesus said it is finished, Now you never bring them. So see, when you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like the whole, those who don't know God, for they expect God to hear them because of their many words. Right? It's almost like you're repeating, give us the next. He says something here. Next 8. There's no need to imitate them since your Father already knows what you need before you ask. So what this means is that, guys, time will fail me. But there are like 40 scriptures that I have here that will just show you how who is living in you. So prayer, there is a place where, okay, let's see, there is no need to imitate them. Give me 8, give me 9. Pray like this: Our Father dwelling in heavenly places, heavenly realm, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. When Jesus Christ came, not only he redefined the idea of the temple, not a place you go, but a place you are. He also changed this word. Sometimes people call it heaven, sometimes they call it the kingdom of God. And he told us in Luke about the kingdom of God. Where did he say the kingdom of God is? No, check it now. Look again. Look, I think Luke 14. He's saying that, guess what? The kingdom of God is what? In you. So if the kingdom of God is in you, and the kingdom of God is heaven, and we now say that, he said, our Father will dwell in heavenly places. Where is the heavenly places now? Inside of you. So anytime your prayer is an imagination of, hey, move the travel go sky. You know, sometimes, did you know the... No, that cosmic exploration ends. Because the point again is that the idea is that they tell you you're praying to us, but Jesus said you're praying from. So it's not like, because God is the one living inside of you, he already knows what you pray, and I'll show you 2 scriptures that talks about that. So at the end of the day, he's living his life through you. So God already knows the things that you do. So this is where he said, pray like this, our Father. He didn't say my Father, our Father. So he also plugs into source, because you must connect first before anything. So that connection is the first principle of prayer, that you must connect with God. He says, and then, you know, if you go to TPT scripture, TPT said that part where he said prayer, right? When he says, when you want to pray, pray like this. He said, enter into the chamber. They gave us 2 words. They said, energized prayer. And there was a way they also put it, a prayer in a prayer. So what TPT was telling us is that when you enter into the inward part, you meet God praying. Yes. So prayer, there's a dimension of prayer where God is the one doing the praying for you. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, and then Romans 8, verse 26, right? Give me that, Romans 8, verse 26. Now, remember when he was teaching us how to pray in tongues? There was something he said. He said, sometimes we want to pray, but we don't know how we want to pray. But are we there? Romans 8. And in a similar way, see what he's saying. The Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times, we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to do what? To super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sights too deep for words. So what I'm saying now here is the prayer of the God who prays through you, for you, is the one that we need in this age to survive. Because you're not praying to obtain, you're praying to express. See, all the answers you need, healing is already inside of here. Remember when they taught Jesus, Jesus said, virtue left. Where virtue come from? It says, healing within you is treasure. So this is the point again. He said, God is the one. Have you ever thought about how God intercedes for you? That's why some days the best place to be is to be weak, where you don't tire. At that point, you're out of words, and you just lock yourself in, and you're going into the depth of you. So at that point in time, it's not about praying for needs. It's about opening yourself. So supplication in this context of union is more surrender. It's about getting yourself out of the way. Because sometimes you don't even know what you want. Darryl, your testimony was so powerful. Darryl spoke about his wife's birth and the challenges they were having. She was praying for healing. Guess what came out of that? A ministry. Is it a ministry or a company? Company or ministry? Brother. Lose not. Right? But again, something came out, and today many other women who are having the same issues have been blessed by it. But his own answer then was, Lord, deliver. You understand? That was the prayer. It was about God, deliver her. Let it flow. But what was flowing in the prayer God was praying for him, he was like, receive ye that which is yours to bet. So God was betting something in her, And yet we're praying. So that's it. Now let's close with 1 Corinthians 2:9. So we're going to dwell 1 Corinthians 2:9. Okay, this is why the scripture says things never discovered or heard. Let's read it together. Want to go? Things never discovered or heard of before. Things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all of his lovers. But where did God store them? In you. See, the answers you need are inside. Do you know, Pare was telling us that one day, his wife asked him one tough question. He had never thought about it. As he opened his mouth, wisdom, he just answered it. Even him was saying, brother, where did you get that from? Yes, sir. And his wife said, you're so profound some days, I don't know. You know. And he said, babe, I should tell you because you never know. Like he said himself was like, where is this coming from? Because there's a depth of wisdom inside of you that you have not heard. See, you need to rediscover yourself, meet yourself again in the depth of you. You understand? So the point again is that there is more inside you. That's why some days, have you seen that what you think is you are learning new is only remembering. The ancient teacher said, nobody can teach you something new. All this I'm saying is not actually new. It's that you're just speaking it now, like it's coming alive, and you're like, I never thought of that. You are remembering. That's why it's called recognition. It's a cognito, right? Take it easy, take it easy. You guys know I like to trip over, right? But guys, I like to trip over. I get flattered. And I know I shouldn't be. Have you seen that? I like it, but I don't like it like that. You know? Okay, guys, let's read on to 10. So, first of all, this is what the scripture is saying, that God has stored something inside of you. Those things, you know now. Your eyes have not seen it. You have only seen a boutique in Ikoyi. It used to be Ikoyi that year, Awolowo Road. You have seen only Awolowo Road. God was seen global. So, but your mind cannot handle global because where you are right now, you can only handle Ojoeleba. Like that's where you are still recovering yourself, right? So he said, imagine many things God has in store for you. So you cannot be more ambitious about your life than God. God actually is more ambitious about you than you are about yourself. But you dwell in the limits of your being instead of the limitlessness of the being that lives in your being. Guys, take it home. Next, 10. But God, see what he's saying, though. Let's read it together. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. So guess what? The gift of the Holy Spirit is to tell you things. It's actually to pray for you. It's actually to pray through things fought for you. And that's why praying in tongues is so powerful. Now, you know, on campus, we force people to receive it. But these days, I just realized that, brother, you won't do it, you don't want to do it. I'm not even laying hands. Brother, open your mouth. Something will come out. That's it. No, that is a faith move. Don't be sitting down there. So even us orchestrating it and then waiting to be orchestrated. I remember one guy would not be moved. He came prepared not to be slain by the Spirit. You know, have you met those guys on campus? They're not in a church. On our 2 day fall. I will tell you, I will not fall. Come. And that day, you know, some men of God are more ambitious for the Spirit of God. Brother, please. Do something new in my life. Because, the guy go, they say, in those times, if you go to those churches, when the usher don't stand for your back, what is coming at you? Only few can stand. And when the man of God just say, receive it, boop. You that day, you go feel yourself like, oh, moving over me, right? Guys, edit, please give it to me. But I want us to keep our perspective here. There is this prayer where God prays in you. And we're praying for you. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is that God is praying his life through you. I think they're out. Let's read it together in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Darryl, do you have it there? Chill, what happened? Tripped off. Okay. Jeffrey, read for us, please. Give Jeffrey the mic so we can close on that. 1 Corinthians 2:10.
Verse 10.
Yes.
But now, this is TBT.
Yeah, keep going.
But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. 11. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his spirit, the spirit of God.
Keep going.
12. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. 13. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit,
okay,
and not with the words.
So let's track up on this thing. See what the picture is actually saying here. That the Spirit of God is impacting words in you. So the greatest two things, if you feel you have a problem of prayerlessness, that problem is an inability to stay still. Your concept of prayerlessness is a listening problem. You don't know how to be alone because guess what? That power there prays. The second thing that you must also plug into to understand here is that when you enter into that space, prayer becomes a creative exercise. So prayer becomes a creative experience. So what that God does is that as you enter there, God is now stirring in your heart. Pictures will come in your mind. So you cannot let any picture that is not what you want to see to dwell in your heart. Right? So, and then what Jesus Christ will tell you that when you pray, don't pray as though you're praying to get answers. He said, pray believing. Mark 11:23. He said, pray and believe you have received. So that you don't pray to get, you pray that you have. So what you must do whenever you're praying, you must enter into the feeling of the answer's prayer and pray from there. So you don't wait to experience healing, right, to be healed. You enter into your mind, what you will feel when you're whole, and then start to pray that. So you must, the truth is that you are already a spiritual activity. You are a portal. You understand? That's actually what it is. So you're a spiritual portal on earth. So you can no longer begin to limit yourself to there is no distance between you and the answers. So he's saying that God is already indwelling you and God is already stirring things in your heart. So when you want to pray, you must put the picture of what you want to experience in your mind, and you must also do what? Enter into the feelings of the answered prayer. So when Jesus was going to talk to Lazarus, you know, when Lazarus died, they asked him, Baba, how far? Lazarus is sick. He was quiet. He now said, my friend is sleeping. Let me go and wake him up. Think about it. Lazarus had died. He told them Lazarus is sleeping. And then one of them said, okay, if they sleep, we'll stay now. Why would they go now? Go wake. Jesus now said, Baba, Olodo. Oh, sorry. Yeah, he didn't say that. But you know, some of these people, they have to rile you like that. Jesus now said, yeah, he might have said that. He said, no, he has died. Then we'll say, Lazarus is dead. Oh my God, let's go and bury him. And Jesus said, no. There's no burial. There's resurrection. Then I'll say, Baba, something's passed you. More go. And they got there. When Mary and her sister saw Jesus, they were still crying. Jesus said, don't worry, I'm here. He will come back to life. They said, at the last day on resurrection day, he said, Kai, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believed in me, though he were dead, he will live. So that is how Jesus saw life. He saw the answer and spoke the answer. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Are you speaking circumstances? Are you praying circumstances? So you're praying over them. You don't pray for answers. You pray forth. So I'm not saying, Lord, I need a visa. Lord, thank you for the visa is given. That is the prayer that changes the world. Don't say, Lord, please give me customers. Say, Lord, thank you. My place is filled with customers. That is the language of sons. That is the language that shakes heaven. And God is the one praying that, because the way I said, you are a human being, and the being in you is God, that is the being that dwells in you. One other language we use is I am. Who has that name, I am? Yeah, God introduced Moses as I am that I. So there is no way you can introduce yourself easily without saying I am Fedi, or I am Chioma, or I am Ugo. Eh? So that I am. But you know what that I am is? The I am is actually the name of the being that indwells you. So why Fedi is your being, I am is the being that inhabits you. So that's why I said you must have the consciousness that you carry something and someone. So that's why James was saying in James 5:17 that when we pray, we make tremendous power available. We activate certain things because there is an energy inside of you that is activated when you pray. So when you say I am, you are calling God. You cannot be separate from God. I am means I am God's expression on earth. So you cannot attach I am to things you don't want to have. You cannot say, I am not feeling well. Because you have just validated that thing. You don't use I am, and you waste it. I am well, I am whole, I am blessed. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, I am the life, I am the bread. He claimed every good thing possible. He was supposed to, you are supposed to be like that. Like as he is in this world, so are you. You cannot be less. So even if you've lost a job, you cannot say, I am down. Like that is a place to just sort of be, but that's not good. That's not your language. Your language is, I rise up in strength and power. See, there is a type of prayer where you don't pray as you pray as I am. And that's a prophetic language. This is what it means. So for instance, if I'm praying as Fedi, I'll say, thank you, Lord, because I am blessed. Thank you, Lord, because you have blessed me. When I enter I am, I say, Fedi, you are blessed. I have blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You are standing as my seed on earth. So I am speaking to myself as the God will speak to me. That's what the power of scripture is. Jesus understood that. Yes, so there is a prayer where you pray for you. There's a prayer where you pray as you. The prayer where you pray for you, brother, you go in and collect contract finish. But guys, this is not the plan. I'm actually saying that enter into your I am. That's why Jesus Christ entered there. There was only one time Jesus prayed as Jesus. That Gethsemane. This thing don't heavy him. It was like, Baba, this one heavy. But any other time you meet him, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. One day he told them that I'm before Abraham got here, I've been here. They said, you insult our grandfather Abraham. My goodness. He was just going around. One day he told them that, don't you know that ye are gods? They said, carry stone. Jesus said, and I'm quoting David, oh, no stone me. No, yeah, he said, I'm quoting David, oh, I'm not the one that said it. No, he even escaped one day and said, these guys, they can't handle these things. Yeah. No, my point is, he was trying to unravel something in us. See, what do you need to speak in your life that needs to align to this picture? You don't need to feel successful. You don't need to be successful to feel successful. When you enter into the feeling of success, success will become natural to you. Many of us have been conditioned to speak from flesh and spoken flesh. You're speaking fears and anxiety. You know, the universe is waiting on that thing. You know? When they see fear, they supply more fear. You are an electromagnetic energy center. The moment you show up with anxiety, the man that is driving will scratch your car. The other one will call you. Like, you just realize there is a multiplication of stress. So you cannot multiply that which you don't want to be. When you enter into the place, what do you want to see in your life that you must speak over your life? About your family, what's the picture? Are your siblings fighting? Nobody, they talk to each other. But once again, is that see the picture of union. Speak. My family is blessed. They are together. Unity lives here. We love ourselves. We have all we need. You can no longer be speaking. I don't know what's happening. I'll leave this family group. I'll leave this WhatsApp group. And you leave. When you are the light, that should be telling everybody, come back together. So, do you know, one day my mother called me, right? So my father had sold some part of the house. And the person that bought that part started to build flats. Build one story. Two story. My mother said, this thing don't cover air. Don't cover air. You know how they do it in that part of town? Oga, you were supposed, why are you doing? It was a small thing. Why are you trying to just take over? You were meant to just manage that place. And she was telling me that she just felt bad. Like we should come, all of us should come back and give the man the money. Something the man bought 10 years ago. The man just there so built. So all of us should come back and give the man the money. You understand? And she was saying, and she said something. Boy, I will never forgive your father for selling that part of the house. He never could understand this. You know, and I told her, hey, mom. Let's not forget that some men didn't leave even half. So this one leaves something. Why don't you celebrate what is left? Why celebrate the part? She just said, you know, sometimes talking to you can be therapeutic. Yeah. You understand? No, because I have friends and siblings, they will call me that when they're going through their marriages. Oh, there's wisdom in season. I don't even need to think answer as the father. I say, hey, brother, just calm down. One of them ran and left his wife. I went to the UK. I was like, no, calm down. Go back. Love her some more. Love her some more. You know, at the end of the day, you must be the voice of God. So you cannot, you know, I saw a picture. They said, when family try to settle a relationship, you have those moments when people are broken or fragile around you. The life of God speaks hope, not fear. So when you pray, you must pray the answers you need. You don't wait for a new relationship to feel love. No, don't wait for a new relationship. The secret, singles, Pay me later. Ça va bien, merci. Okay, singles. Singles. This thing has... the secret to love is not to wait for love, to experience love. It's to start, enter love. Even now, enter into the feelings of love. And that feelings of love will bring the relationship. You understand? Because if you don't enter it, your face will be too strong. Then you meet the guy. You understand? Some of you, the day the guy came to church, you guys were not here because that day you were angry. Or the day he met you, you were in a bad mood. Only your mood swing. And these days, you know, the Lagos is hard. The boys want less pressure. They don't want to understand. For them, the mental health is important. The day they just say, man, this is red flag. This is a red flag going somewhere fast. And you know that some people look green, like green flag, until you date them. Oh, yo, this is a red flag. No, they look green until you greet them. As you just enter, realize that this is it. But my own point is that in this context of prayer, you're co-creating with God, you're participating with God in creating your circumstances. So you don't speak what you don't want, you speak what you want. You don't attach your I am into things that are not productive. Don't say, I am weak. No. Jesus didn't even say that. He said, I let the weak say I'm strong. That's the language of sonship. That's the language of prayer. And prayer expands because prayer is not just the words you speak. Prayer are the thoughts, the feelings you feel, the conversations in your mind. So every part of you becomes prayer. That's why Jesus said, pray. He said that, how do you say, pray without ceasing was Paul. But Jesus said something about men ought to pray and not to faint always. Something like that. So my own point is, you must tend the consciousness of who you are. I want us to make that a practice this morning, yeah? First of all, what is that thing in your life you want to move out of the way? Is it a job that has drained you? Is it a business that you feel like is taking more from you than it's giving to you? How do you impose the picture of the finished works of Christ? How do you pray forth? I want us to spend the next 3 minutes speaking in tongues because, you know, that is what we do. Paul said that when we pray, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit greets us utterance and it's tearing us. So I just want you to stir that. Now I want us to put our hands in our belly. You know, James said that out of your belly will Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I said, our prayers make tremendous power available. So the next 3 minutes, I want you to break open. I'm hearing something here. There is somebody that is afraid of untimely death. That you just have this sense of untimely death around you. See, we break that thing even now. You will live long and eat the fruit of the land. I'm hearing God is saying that tumor that is on your left breast. He said that I am taking that tumor out and it will dissolve because the healer dwells in you. You want your prayer to be the one that is praying. Just push.
Let's rise up. Open your mouth and declare, the best of the land is coming for me. The best of the land is released to me. I have more than enough.
You can log on to thetribelagos.com or email us at hello@thetribelagos.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter on The Tribe Lagos. God bless.